Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Currently 52 degrees and overcast here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Should remain mostly cloudy overnight with a low this evening of 39 degrees. A sunny day expected for Friday with a high near 57. Coming up at 4 o'clock, all things considered from NPR News. We start by heading into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
With me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Zach Stein. He is Assistant Professor of Library Science in Dupré Library on the UL campus, but he is also Head of Special Collections, which is housed in Dupré Library as well. We were talking before we went on the air. Many of you listening, perhaps who came to UL or alums of UL, may remember that as the archives. People would refer to it as the archives. It is Special Collections, but it is the same thing. And I think I'd like to start off, Zach, first of all, talking about why a university would have special collections. We know there are books in Dupré Library. We know there are periodicals there. We know there are computers there now to help students do research. But what is the purpose of an archive or special collections at a university?
Well, I think the main purpose is really to capture the history of, first off, the history of the university and also the history of the particular region. You do make a point. We do have, computers and advanced technology, whatever. And we do also, even in archives, we have, digital collections these days. But in the end, nothing really replaces the actual physical evidence of that particular history, be it a letter written by somebody from the 1800s. Obviously, you can never recreate that, and we need an archives in order to, first of all, be able to preserve it, and probably even more, well, equally importantly, make that accessible to researchers.
Well, that's a complicated business, isn't it? You're talking about very old artifacts, and you're talking about making sure that they are preserved, that they're safe in their environment, and also making sure that they are organized in a way that is accessible to people.
That's one of our main jobs as far as processing materials. So sometimes when we get collections, they are already in order in some particular order that the donor had put them in, and it is our job as archivists to keep to that original order as closely as possible. We also need to keep in mind the provenance of the materials, basically where it came from and how it was originally presented. At the same time, sometimes we get collections that are just all thrown into a box, and there is no real order that's given. And it's our duty to look at really examine the materials and then organize in a way that would make sense to us, but also most importantly would make sense to researchers. And of course, the way to do that is you take these materials and you divide them. We obviously would make an inventory of what's there, but to make it easier, we divide it into series. So we'll have a series of, for example, these papers represent correspondence, or that'll be one series. Another series may be publicity, or we have a series that revolves around one particular person. By doing that and then doing the inventory below each of those series, and sometimes there'll be sub-series as well below each. It's able to make the research much easier.
I think people can understand the complexity of what you deal with at Special Collections. Before we talk about some more of the actual work that you do and some of the collections that are there right now, can you give us a sense of the history of the collections here at the university? We're a unique university in that we haven't had that many presidents.
Right.
A couple of them were president for 40 years or so. The first president, Dr. Stevens, was here for decades, and so was Dr. Audemars.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're not dealing with a lot of presidents, but who started the archives? I've read or heard that Dr. Stevens was interested in maintaining records of what went on at the university.
I'm not sure when exactly it started, but certainly the first – I mean, first it wasn't Edith Garland Dupre Library. Before that, it was the Stevens Memorial Library, mm-hmm. which, of course, was when Dr. Stevens left. But also Edith Garland Dupre was – she was a part of that first she was a part of that first class of professors. She taught English and French, and she was also the librarian there. So I'd say as far as the library, I mean, a lot of it started with her. As far as the actual like special collections is concerned, so Edith Garland Dupre Library actually was built in around 1960, and that was when Joel Fletcher was president. And of course, that's when we became University of Southwestern Louisiana. And I think it was around that time there was a professor. His name was Henry Detloff. He actually was brought on really as the first archivist. Even though he was really a professor, what he did, he was the one who really started it off. Like, he gathered a lot of the first collections, and so. And he was mostly interested. He was very much interested in history of agriculture, and so some of the collections he brought in were like the Rice Millers Association, which is a huge collection we have. He also helped get like the Jefferson Caffrey papers, which our reading room is named after. So he was there, I think, for most of the '60s, and then there were a couple other archivists in between. And it was around 1982 we got Dr. Bruce Turner. Originally from Indiana, I believe, and he was the one who really shaped the archive for what it to what it is today. He reorganized, actually really reprocessed many of the collections, reorganized it in a way for us to be able to work with. And he was here for several decades as well. And like I said, the way that he practiced is really, it's still being practiced today. So he probably had one of the biggest influences in the archives.
So probably for a long time, what was happening were the president's papers and various, you know, notices and things that happened at the university got collected at the old library. But it sounds like in the '60s we really began gaining a sense of ourselves as a regional repository,
right,
of what was happening in culture and agriculture and.
Right. Yeah. I believe so. It was. I'd say it's around that time. Yeah, because if you think about it, with the with our special collections, special collections is really more an umbrella term, because there's a lot of different really, I wouldn't say departments, but like different facets of it. So I mean, there's certainly the university archives, which is of course our collection of institutional records, which would include like the Office of the President. Papers from each of different like administrative and also academic departments. There's also, I'm sure we got something on KRVS as well. And then we have the Acadiana manuscript collection, which, as you said, that really took form probably in like the '60s. And those are mainly the collections that reflect the Acadiana region. In addition to that, there's also, you know, the Louisiana Room, which are mainly mainly books that are specifically related to Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, not just Acadiana for that matter. But that we have a Louisiana map collection, vertical files, and also a rare book collection as well. And those are mostly books that were written or published like before 1900. So that doesn't mean like, you know, a copy of like Tom Sawyer that was just released recently. It would be like an actual copy that was released before, like in the 1800s, or if it was like a signed copy or a first edition. So
you have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, then there's also parts that are not necessarily under me. There's like the Ernest J. Gaines Center, the Cajun and Creole Music Collection. So
Center for Louisiana Studies.
Yeah, well, that's separate from the library. But yeah, they have their own special collection. So
right.
Yeah, it's a it's a really wide net.
Hotbed of knowledge and research over there in Dupre. So how long have you been head of special collections?
Well, it's interesting because when I first came here, I'm originally from Illinois. So when I came down here, I actually was originally the digitization archivist. So because one of the things we are doing is I guess I don't want to say jumpstarting because it's already there, but we're creating like our digital collections. So I was first brought on. I was the first digital archivist that they brought on, and then after a year, the head of special collections position opened up. I applied for that, got it, and I've been doing that for 2 years now.
So I guess digitizing everything, you began to familiarize yourself with what was in mm-hmm. special collections. But how did you prepare yourself for that job? Just hearing the description mm-hmm. of what is under that umbrella and what you have to learn about the university. I mean, you're like an Uber reference librarian. Mm-hmm. You know, people must come to you and think you know where everything is and you know about all the histories. What have you been doing to catch up? Yeah. How are you doing?
Really, the best way to do that is just learn as much as you can about the area. Actually, I remember when I got this position, the interim dean had said, "You are now the expert of Acadiana, of this region." So, yeah, I mean,
you set yourself to becoming
absolutely
an
so the way. Yeah, and certainly the way to do that because a lot. I mean, we have so many collections right now, especially with the Acadiana manuscripts collection. We have probably over 700 of those collections now, 500 large ones, about 200 smaller ones. We have finding aids written for the majority of them. And so for me, it's just, you know, reading those finding aids and then also looking at some of those collections and seeing what's there.
And did it also, I imagine it feeling a bit like Christmas because you got to start opening up boxes, didn't
oh, yeah.
you? And because there's lots of artifacts
oh, God,
there.
Yeah.
What is that like?
It's pretty amazing because you never really know. Yeah, you never really know what you're going to find exactly. I mean, one of our collections, for example, it's the John Parker papers. He was a politician. He's got letters from Theodore Roosevelt that are pretty fascinating. But even besides that, you'll have like letters from just, you know, regular people just talking about day-to-day life from, say, like the 1800s in New Orleans or Lafayette, talking about like what kinds of things were going on, like businesses or there's one collection where there's letters. They talk about yellow fever during the like 1850s, I believe. So, I mean, there's so much that you can learn from all these.
It's a trove of information for not just historians, but I can also imagine people who write historical fiction mm-hmm. who want to understand what it was like and how people
oh, yeah.
spoke to each other and their language
oh, yeah.
or their common language.
Oh, yeah. I think they can get a really good idea mm-hmm. of what's there. It's also funny. I mentioned letters. Sometimes they're letters that seem fairly innocuous. I mean, several of the collections have like love letters between different people, and I mean, you read those and you compare them to letters that are not being written today, or the kind of the way that we speak today, and it's so vastly different mm-hmm. that it's really fascinating.
What a great resource for so many types of people. And when you mention letters from Theodore Roosevelt, we often see books that are collected letters of, you know, a politician or a celebrity, and they must scour the country searching for archives, special collections like we have here, for letters like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just letters all over the country that might exist in special collections.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We frequently get researchers from like all over the country that want to see like what it is we have, and also many of them are very much interested in Cajun culture. So
and people listening right now, I want to remind people, if you are just tuning in and finding yourself fascinated by the history we're talking about, my guest is head of special collections here at UL Lafayette, Zach Stein, talking about the special collections, the history of it, and just what it comprises. And I think some people might be wondering, how much space do you have in the library? Because you're talking about actual artifacts, boxes of letters.
Right.
How do you fit all of that?
it's not always easy. Sometimes you just got to be creative. But when we get to that point, I mean, we're going to have to come up with a plan But
well, that's another discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But these are physical objects, and you are continuing to get donations of collections.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen?
I mean, usually what happens is there's always someone who comes in and says, I have this, either be it like a collection of correspondence or letters, or have a scrapbook of newspaper articles, or have these photographs. Do you want them? And usually we do. I mean, with any archives, you have to like inspect them to see, okay, does this match our mission? And our mission, of course, is collecting materials that reflect the Acadiana region and experience. If we feel that it does match our mission, we'll say, yeah, we absolutely would love it. But if it's something that doesn't, even if it's something that looks like really, really incredible, just as an example, if they were the papers of like Stephen King or something, even though I would love to see that, I'd love to have that in our archives. But since he's got nothing to do with Acadiana, we wouldn't accept that.
Unless, of course, he had been corresponding with a famous, mm-hmm. you know, Cajun musician or something.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The letters of Stephen King to Dewey Balfour.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Could be out there in somebody's attic.
Sure.
That's the other thing that must be so wonderful about being an archivist are those surprising finds, mm-hmm. and people bringing you this box with something marvelous in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you were most delighted to find when you got the key as head of special collections?
Oh, man. I don't know. Certainly the Theodore Roosevelt letter. One of the things that's pretty interesting is one of our collections it's called the Opelousas and Attakapa brand books. And interestingly, they're presumably some of the oldest brand books in the country.
You're talking about branding cows,
right? Yeah. And they would have these books and a list of like people's names and the brands that they had. Yeah, the brands. And what's interesting is that is actually one of our more popular collections, because that's a great way to study like the genealogy and the history of like particular families and stuff. So. And that was something I never really thought about when I came down here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very interesting. And also just little things. One collection that I'm kind of fond of, it's called the Jewish Temples of Southwest Louisiana, especially as like someone who is Jewish and comes
to the
a place.
South.
Yeah. Well, to a place that's largely Catholic. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's always great to see if that there's a collection devoted to the Jewish people, and they've got some really interesting one thing that's interesting. When I came to the temple, like one of the first individuals that I had met, I then found in this particular collection her a wedding invitation for her and her husband. So
all these little connections.
Yeah, just so yeah. I mean, just little things like that.
How interesting. I'm sure many people listening would not have suspected that there would be a special collection for that mm-mm. subject. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So in addition to curating what you have there and taking care of what you have there and just receiving things, as a part of your mission, you must also have ideas about what you would like to include in special collections. So you must actively reach out or mm-hmm. let it be known that you're looking for certain things.
Right.
Otherwise, some people might not ever think to take that box down or when they're getting rid of things to think that this would be important. So what are some of the things that you would like to curate in the future at Special Collections?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's many. I mean, as we've been saying, the goal of the archives is to present the entire Acadiana region. So that's not just devoted to like Cajun and Creole, whatever, but it's also would count for more like collections that reflect like the African American experience, Native American. We also have a Filipino American community, and there's actually one professor that I'm speaking with who's a part of of the Filipino American Friends of Acadiana. We're going to try and get some of those records, and also the LGBT community. I've met with a couple of organizations and also people in the university who seem to be very interested in giving us some of their collections, because those are kind of like in many ways kind of like the Jewish collection. These are for some people may be considered like smaller groups within the Acadiana, but I think they're just as important.
Equally fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I'd love to like get. So, yeah, one of the ways to do that is, you know, find find people who are associated or affiliated in one way or another. And, yeah, just reach out to them, be it through like email or calling them or actually like going to some of their functions and just introducing yourself. Mm-hmm. It's basically, yeah, it's all just like getting yourself out there.
Right. And also one large group, because you didn't mention, were all the Spanish families who came into this area, and things that might be hidden in attics or, you know, family papers that have to do with land grants and letters, all fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it seems like it's not easy for some of these people to give up their materials, because either part of it might be that, yeah, they're really attached to this. And we respect that. Other reasons, though, might be that they may not necessarily know like what an archives is and what it is that we do. So it's our job to really show them and explain to them this is what our intention is, and we want to make sure that your history is made available to research, not just researchers, but really the community, just to know that. That you or this particular group existed and was an important part of this region.
But I'm sure for many people, it's almost like sending a member of their family out somewhere else, and they want to know that it's going to be cared for, taken care of, and used in a very effective way, and it won't just be hidden someplace unavailable to anybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, it's never our intention to just take something and then just leave it there. We want people. Mm-hmm. We want people to actually come and see this material. Mm. So
how do people interact with the archives? You have mentioned that you get requests from researchers. Some people may think it's sort of behind a fortress, and you have to be an academic to get in there. How can people even find out what's available in the archives? Mm-hmm. You have a presence on the UL website. So how does that work? How do people interact?
So our archives is open to the public. So, yeah, anybody can come in, and they, at least at this point, they don't need to make an appointment, though it would help if they knew what it was they wanted to look at. If they like emailed or called us in advance, that would certainly help, so we could pull the particular like box or collection and make it available to them. But otherwise, yeah, it is available to the public. We do have we are on the university website. We have all of our finding aids listed. We have them listed, and then there's descriptions of what they are. And then if you actually like click the link to the finding aid, we have like the whole like biographical information, scope and contents, and also the inventory of what's there. So they know what to what to look for.
You've mentioned that phrase "finding aids" a couple times. Is it just like a search engine? What is
a finding aid? It's a document that lists what is in that collection. So we list what how the series and subseries are organized, and then we list like the inventory of what is within each of those series. We refer to that as a finding aid.
But say, suppose somebody went to that website, but you have probably a search function there, like if you put in, say, someone's first name and like a mouton, would all of those come up, or how does that?
We're not quite there yet, mm-hmm, but we are working on getting a new. We are working on that. We have this new. It's not new, but we have a database called Archive Space where we're putting our finding aids in. We're hoping that will help with better search functions. But yeah, at this moment, it's mainly listed. Though I believe you can go into the search catalogs, and if you do
something,
if you type something that, yeah, it may it can pop up in the.
But all of those collections are listed, and as you said, with the finding aids, the individual things that are in there are listed, like what box of letters or something like that from so Mr. So and So to Miss So and So.
Right. Absolutely.
Actually,
another thing I just wanted to bring up, another thing that we are doing, especially with regards to our digital initiatives, is we adopted an institutional repository. So the idea here is to mainly archive scholarship from the university. So this would be like faculty and students, and we want to encourage them to put their scholarship into this IR, so that one, it's actually the main reason it's made available, that their research is made available, and also it's showing what the university has to offer with regards to scholarship.
So that makes it very easy for people in the campus community to participate in growing the special collections.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And and if anybody's interested in looking at that, the website is ir.louisiana.edu. Just to make that plug.
And I'm sure some people are wondering, you know, do you have yearbooks going all the way back?
So
you would have the whole collection of UL yearbooks.
If not all of them, certainly most of them. But
how far back do they go?
Oh, 1900s. I know we definitely have 1912, and I'm pretty sure we have the ones before. Actually, I believe we do have the very first one. It's not bound in the same way that the others are. It's more like a, it looks more like a scrapbook in a way, but it's or the outside of it. But yeah, that's really cool. But yeah, we have all of those, and actually, the majority of those, if not all of them, are also digitized. And those can be found, except for like the last couple of years, but those can be found on our on the library website as well.
And I'm sure people are often interested in photographs. How do you archive your photographs? Are those by subject, by person?
Well, if the photographs belong in a, if they're from a particular collection, like they stay with that collection.
Like the university photographs.
I'm talking about university photographs. Once again, it really depends on who had donated them. So, if they were photographs, actually, we do have a particular a photograph collection within the university archives. So, we would basically divide it on depending on like where it came from. So, if they were photographs that were like that depicted events from KRVS, we would have a folder specifically for that. As far as like archiving them, what we would do is we put them in plastic sleeves so that obviously they're not exposed to like any dust, and they don't get scratched or anything. So
Well, again, a very complex job, and it sounds like you are fascinated by it all, and it sounds like Special Collections is in good hands. If you are just tuning in, my guest is head of Special Collections here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, Zach Stein. He's also assistant professor of library science in Dupré Library. They have all kinds of collections there. Researchers from all over the country call and are interested in what they have there, but they are open to the public as well, and they are interested in hearing about what you might have in trunks and attics, and if it might give a bigger picture of what the Acadiana region is like, or maybe something having to do with the university. And I know I just gave you a piece of paper when you came in here. It was pretty fascinating. I think Dave Barry with Lafayette Memories had posted it a while back. It was from 1913. And it was talking about how the university was going to make the first moving picture ever made in Lafayette, probably Acadiana. And it was a film of activities at the university in 1913, moving pictures of that. And they were going to show it in Lafayette. But you all don't have a copy of that. So
the film, no.
So
as far as I know, no.
We're putting a call out there. If you know about any footage from this early film, I think it has people diving into the old pool in 1913, girls dancing from Miss McLaurin's gym class, and some processional also, graduation
like,
maybe.
Yeah, it says, it's like 400 feet long, and it's like it shows main building, arts and crafts building, the barn, swimming pool. Yes, graduates and students going into the main building and a number of beautiful dances and drills given by the young ladies of Miss McLaurin's gymnasium classes.
1913.
Yeah. All in 1913, yeah.
I believe it also says what they were planning to do was to tour it all over Louisiana, hoping to recruit students for the university. So a very early recruiting tool in 1913.
Yeah.
So who knows where that film might be. If anybody has a store of old films or, you know, some great grandparent has the archives would love that.
Yes.
And, of course, Zach Stein would love to hear any of your other ideas or collections that you have as well. That is Special Collections here at UL Lafayette. You can find them online. What is the website? Is it
You can find us at library.louisiana.edu.
And Special Collections is under there. I think you also have a Facebook page.
Yes.
And you post from time to time some pretty interesting things.
Yes, UL Special Collections. Yeah, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter and Instagram. We frequently post. Be it like collections that are that we have just processed, or just interesting collections that we want to highlight.
It's a great Facebook page. I really enjoy it. So thank you all for putting it out there and helping us understand a bit more about our history here at the university and in the Acadiana region. Well, thank you so much, Zach Stein, for coming today. I know you're really busy over there digitizing and archiving. We appreciate it, and we hope to have you back in the future to tell us more about the collections.
Absolutely.
There.
Thanks very much.